Welcome back. Welcome back. It's now 2022. Oh my goodness. And last year I said good riddance to 2020. And this year I'm saying goodbye and good riddance to 2022. I thought 2021, the beginning of the end, but it was just a continuation. Therefore, I felt we could use a little bit of Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum and his positive, focused attitude. 3 steps to happiness guaranteed. And if it doesn't work, you get your money back. It's a money back guarantee for happiness. It's simple. And it's focused, and it's direct, and we can all do it. So I want to wish you, from myself and Carol, a happy new year. Appreciation is a key, one of the important keys to health. Appreciation. Appreciate your families. Appreciate your life. Appreciate what you have, and then work to make it better. So, happy, happy, happy new year. And we'll be back live next week. Listen, learn, and enjoy. And we'll be back next week.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fennari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant. Every week I present new and creative ways to help make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, I give practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Today we have another very special show. We are speaking with my favorite person, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He is an author of a new book, 3 Steps to Happiness, Healing Through Joy. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But first, let me introduce or bring on Carol Peterson, my co-host. Carol?
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited about discussing this book.
I know, me too. But, you know, something happened this week. All these times we... it was big, too. All these times we thought there was really no audience out there, that they were just sleeping. Well, guess what? Last week we woke them up. We stepped our foot onto a sacred cow. And
oh, no, it was the butter from the cow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, when we spoke about the new study that just came out from the archives of internal medicine, stating very directly that maybe our hypothesis about saturated fat has not been accurate, and that they see no correlation in studies, in a meta-analysis of 72 studies with saturated fat and heart disease. And then we discussed about fat and eating fat, how it works, and we also discussed, and we very clearly stated, what I believe. I believe that there's not one diet. That there's not one diet from the Yukon to the Caribbean, and only those who follow that one diet are spiritually superior or stronger or healthier than the rest of us. I very much believe that there's an individualized diet for an individualized person that correlates with their culture, with their lifestyle, and with where they're living at that time, and with the season. But boy, did I get calls. I got calls from all sides of the spectrum, some angry saying, how could you say that? Don't you know what they do to animals? Right down to saying, I'm so glad you said this because this now gives me more permission to eat on a broader scope. With that, a better understanding of an ability to adjust myself and my body. Adding to this conversation, I want to invite Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. I'd love to start out with this conversation and ask you where you fit into this spectrum of opinions, because one day we're supposed to eat fat, the next day we're not supposed to eat fat. One day the experts are all saying how horrible it is, the next day they're saying it's good, and yet there's somewhere that we should really look, and maybe you could direct us in that direction.
It's pretty obvious. You know, I've been in medicine for over 35 years, and the one thing that's impressed me is that the experts routinely just turn out to be wrong. Like when they keep telling us we should be afraid of this or be afraid of that. So I guess you could just eat the experts and that would solve the problem. But what you're going to find in general is that your body will tell you what's healthy for you by how you feel. And, again, I can shoot up heroin and feel good for a couple hours, but overall I'm going to feel pretty nasty, you know, in the long term. But if you're eating a diet that leaves you feeling healthy and feeling well, then that diet is working for you. It's that simple. Because if you look at myths that have been busted, eggs do not raise cholesterol. Study after study after study, but analysis show these. They do not increase heart attack risk. Salt, if you limit salt to the government guidelines, main benefit, you die younger. Very good for the Social Security system, not so good for you. Chocolate's a health food. Coffee, tea, also health foods in moderation. Alcohol, the same thing. So, again, all these things that we've been told, you know, be afraid, be very afraid, give up everything that feels good. You know, the same thing happened about 600 years ago. And it was done by not a group called doctors, it was done by a group called Puritans. And they were in England, and they told everybody to give up everything they enjoyed. And people found them so annoying, they said, get the hell on the boat, sail out to sea, and fall off the edge of the world, or we will kill you. So they got on the boat, and they came to the New World. We're still, now that they stopped annoying the Europeans, you know, their descendants are still working on us over here. And it's time to give it up. I mean, first of all, I mean, and this leads into kind of what we're going to talk about today. If you do all these things and give up all these pleasures that you enjoy so you can live to be 120 years old, the bottom line is, why bother? And we've talked about how to get you well from conditions that really are, for some people, disabling and difficult to treat, unless you know how to, which we're supposed to teach people. Same thing. If we get you well so you can go back to a life you hate, we've done nothing for you. So today, we're going to teach you three steps that if you take these three steps, I guarantee you, you will be happy or your money back. So simple, simple things. The bottom line is you don't have to give up anything that you enjoy. The bottom line is that things that feel good are good for you. Let's get to it. So we go ahead and teach people the three steps to happiness?
I would love to hear them. I've been reading this book, Three Steps to Happiness, How to Heal Yourself Through Joy. And I literally picked it up. I can't put it down. It's just so beautiful. It really rings a chord in me. How did you begin, Dr. Teitelbaum? We've been talking to you about the physiology of healing for years now. And everybody loves it when you're here. But you always, at the end, you always talk about joy. You always bring it up. You end every talk we've had, and we've had many, by talking about joy. How did you come about to write this book?
For people who I've been treating, for my patients, I don't even like the word patient, I think it's a nasty word if you think about it. I learned as much from the people who came to see me, because my new patients visit for about 3 to 4 hours, and I'm dealing with some of the most complex, sickest of the sick that nobody else can help. What I learned in working with these folks boiled down to the three steps that we give, and it was a book that I wrote for them to help teach them simple things they can do, because I find if people are happy, they're more likely to get healthy. So it was when I did around about 8,000 books or so, and they were all gone, and I was looking on Amazon one day, and I saw that they were selling for about $350 a piece, and I thought, well, stupid. So I just put it out as an e-book. I didn't want to do reprints, and I was back at $10. Nice, simple, short thing. So, but it was a funny thing, because I learned this from the people I was taking care of. And then when I finished the book, I looked at myself, and I said, am I happy? And the answer was, not really. So I didn't put out the book. But what I did is I followed the steps in the book. Soon after, I was incredibly happy, and I have been since then. Then I published it. People will find that it makes all the difference in the world, and it's just easy, 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 easy.
Well, I read the introduction by the gentleman that you got to do the audiobook, and he said he started out all ready to do an audiobook, and then he started reading it, and he felt very stiff and uncomfortable. And then he started looking into himself, and he said this is a process that was life-changing for him, just working with the book, working with the concepts of the book to be able to present them as an audio. And I thought that was really beautiful.
He and his wife followed the directions in there, and they both also found that they turned out to be really happy. And these are things that anybody can do. So we're going to talk about those three steps in the first half of the show. And then people say, well, how do I deal with the stress of modern life? That would make me happy if I could do that. Second part of the show, we'll talk about adrenal issues and also just lifestyle, how to handle the stress in a society where the advertising mantra is fear sells. Let's go through it. So should we go ahead? And I want to start with people getting one basic understanding, that if you're waiting for events in your life to change, people to change, government to change, you know, who knows, whatever to change.
So you can be happy.
You are screwed.
No.
Medical term, by the way. And the thing is that because you've given up your control, you are in control of whether or not you're going to be happy, period. It's not up to anybody else to change anything. The three steps will help you to get to that place. For the first step, it's a matter of being honest, which we're going to talk about how to be authentic with your feelings. Because many of us don't know what we feel. We bury our feelings. We think that we should feel something. You know, we get caught up in kind of burying feelings. And when you do that, you're going to have things like anxiety attacks, hyperventilation, depression. For others, we're feeling feelings all the time, and we're really good at it. We're not so good at letting go of the feelings. So what do you do when you've had a trauma? What if you've been raped or abused? What if you've been attacked? What if you had a serious illness? How do you let go of the stress of those feelings? So we're going to talk about both of those. So step one is being authentic with your feelings. What does that mean? It means, number one, feel them. There's nothing that you've got to do with your feelings except for feel them. You need to understand them. You don't need to analyze them. You don't need to know what caused them. You don't know who's responsible. In fact, I'm going to give you a simple two rules of thumb. Number one, everything you feel is valid. Number two, the reason you think you're feeling that way has very little to do with the feeling in most cases. There's an 80-20 rule that basically 80% of the cause of the feelings that you're having has nothing to do with the event that triggered it. It goes back to maybe even your childhood and God knows how far back. What you think of feeling about it, but just a trigger, but that feeling was sitting there before. If you sit there trying to figure out the cause of the feeling, you're wasting your time most of the time. And if you're trying to figure out whose fault it is, then you're totally wasting your time because it's nobody's fault. The feeling is valid. It doesn't matter why you're feeling it. Simply feel it. And then when it stops feeling good to feel it, then step two for the second part of being authentic with your feelings is simply to let go of the feeling. And you do that by shifting your attention to something else. But there are techniques for really, you know, PTSD and difficult things that you can get rid of old traumas in sometimes minutes. And when you try these techniques, they will knock your socks off.
So we're not talking about drugging our feelings with antidepressants, and we sort of created a non-feeling society.
Yeah, no, I prefer tequila to antidepressants. I think it's much more enjoyable. So, no, we're not talking about basically burying the feelings so that the depression gets so severe that people go out and shoot other people, which, you know, that's what happens sometimes with the antidepressants. And we're talking about something feeling them. I mean, have a sense of humor with them. And you think, well, angry, you know, I should stop being angry when it stops feeling good. But angry doesn't feel good. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some pretty awesome self-righteous hissy fits in my life, and they felt great. Sometimes grieving feels good. You'd be amazed if you simply take the time and feel what you're feeling. You'll be surprised that it can actually feel good to have these so-called negative feelings, anger, rage, all those things. But no, bearing them with the medications. The medications serve sometimes. And people with very severe depression, they can be helpful. Psychotic episodes, they can be helpful. But for most people, the depression is not a Prozac deficiency. It's when you take the anger and instead of feeling it, you direct it inward at yourself, like somehow it's your fault that you're angry. That's what depression is, when you feel the feelings. And when you do it, you know, I'm going to tell you, people around you, warn them, because you're going to be sitting there and having rants and looking out stuff, but, again, they are not responsible for how you feel. Do not take it out on them. There's a difference between being authentic and honest and sharing your feelings, because that's part of being honest. If you're in a personal relationship and you're not sharing your feelings, it's hard on the relationship. So, in business, it's a different thing. You know, you don't want to go up to your boss and say, you know, I feel like I could strangle you because your horse is fatigued. But in person, even if it's honest, but you want to be aware you feel that way. But in personal relationships, tell people how you feel. And don't tell them you are an idiot or blah, 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 because you don't know that. What you're feeling has nothing to do with them, but you're feeling it towards them, you need to tell them. So just tell them, I feel, and whatever the feeling is, that's always honest. And it doesn't say anything about them. And allows you to share and express and get it off your chest and out of the way so it can clear.
You have little...
And we don't have to take responsibility for other people's feelings.
No.
Either.
Mm-hmm.
So when
go ahead.
Well, when you're saying this, that you might tell your significant other to prepare themselves, you're going to bear it all, that's a warning. You're not going to try to, maybe part of the reason you're not expressing these emotions is you want to spare your partner or your relationship.
All you're doing is keeping that feeling active for the next 25 years. So if you think that's a big lie.
But then...
Right. Warn them and tell them, look, you know, honey, I could wring your neck. I want to share how I feel with you. I'm going to tell you, I understand you may not have anything to do with how I feel. What you did, it may not be about you, it's about my own feelings, but I got to share them with you. So here's a shot of tequila. Listen, don't try to fix the problem. Just hear me out.
Now, this is a question that I have. Is it always necessary to release that feeling on the person? Because... once things are said, sometimes they never go away. And the other person really can't handle it. So by...
Oh, God. You know, Corinne, I grew up with a Jewish mother who was in Auschwitz. You know, the old, if I told him how I feel, it'll kill him. So I held off for years. Didn't work out so good. She was better off when I told her how I felt. And I, you know, the surprising thing was she handled it. And, you know, I think she came out the happier for my having finally, and I finally, it was an odd story, you know, she had every trick in the book for shutting me up and making, you know, so I wouldn't tell her how I felt. And finally, I got so pissed off, her driving on the highway, and I'd hang up on her when she'd get pissed off and said, Mom, and I'd tell her how I felt, and she'd just keep going, I'd hang up. She had me on the highway. We're driving down the highway, and she has me now. She's like, you know, laying all her stuff, and I couldn't tell her how I felt. And I told her, and I said, I'm not going to go there. With, you know, she was being abusive, and blah, blah, blah. And I finally screeched the side of the road in the middle of the highway, pulled off, and said, out. And that's what it took. And after that, because the thing is, if you don't stand up for yourself, you're dead anyway. So there's a thing about being clear with your boundaries, and there's a thing about being clear with your feelings. But if you have somebody, I mean, there are exceptions where the person may be, you know, half demented or, you know, with Alzheimer's or whatever, where you share your feelings and they can't hear them, you know, but at least you acknowledge them to yourself. So if you feel like it's not safe to share your feelings, at least share them with yourself or with another friend. And that's another way you can release them. But in general, if you want that relationship to survive, you're going to need to be honest with the person. Or long term, it's, I wouldn't put a big, you know, if I was to take it bookie, I wouldn't be putting heavy on it, on the relationship, making it well.
Hmm.
But go with your feelings. See how it feels to you.
Mm-hmm.
Here it doesn't count.
Pardon?
You know, if you're afraid to say it, then wait a little bit. But it's better at the end of the day. And that's the difference between if you wait and you wait and you wait, it's going to come out from this little thing and you're going to be ripping the person's throat out. Where if you just say it earlier on in the event, you know, and you say it, look, you know, this, I feel this. Again, you're not saying anything about the person, you're saying this is how I feel. If they can't hear it, that's their problem. They can go to counseling if they can't hear it.
I have this vision of all these emotions being released all over our listening audience after the program.
Oh, I have
clouds and clouds of emotion.
Yeah, and if you want to share those feelings with me, just call it 1-800-CALL-SOMETHING-ELSE. Yeah, it's in personal relationships, you need to be honest, and it helps. And it doesn't mean you have to do it right away. Sometimes it is good to cool down overnight.
Exactly.
Especially with people you're not that close to, and especially in business things. But after you've had a chance to cool down a bit, share the feelings.
Let's get back to the joy. How does that bring us back into our joy? I see so many people, you do also, who have had chronic illnesses or who have had periods of being victimized, either in youth or as an assault or a sexual assault, then it becomes their identity. Their entire body changes. Their body becomes like a barrier. They go to classes and it becomes their identity. The illness becomes their identity. The victimization becomes their identity.
Yep. It's their story.
Pardon?
It becomes their story of who they are.
How can we as practitioners support them through that?
Well, there's two wonderful techniques that I talk about in the book for releasing these old traumas and feelings. One is the technique called Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT.
Mm-hmm.
It uses the acupressure system. And while you're holding the feeling, you hit certain acupressure points. What will happen is the feeling just melts away. And when I first heard about it, I said, well, that sounds really unlikely. You know? And then when I did it, it was funny. You'll see people just giggling after 5-10 minutes because the feeling is just released, feelings they've been holding for decades. And it'll often go in layers. One layer goes, and then the next feeling comes in, and then the next. And you can do a search online. I'm sure there's a lot of really good EFT practitioners in New York City. The book will talk about how to do it on Mercola's website. Mercola's website has a nice video where you can watch somebody doing it and actually do it on yourself while watching them. It's better to work with a professional person for deep-seated severe traumas. But you can give it a try. I think it'd be pleasant. People would be pleasantly surprised. The other thing is a technique called the trembling technique by Dr. Paul Levine. What he found is that when animals go through a trauma, say they were captured or say a gazelle is being run down by a lion, the animal will go into this, basically it's kind of a numb mode. It'll fall to the ground dead. It looks like it's dead from the outside, but it's really playing possum. It's hyper alert and anesthetized on the inside, racing heart, mind very alert, but anesthetized at the same time. Either the animal will then get eaten, in which case death state helps keep it anesthetized, or say the lion decides to drag the gazelle under a rock and hide it, you know, behind a rock while it goes gets the kids for dinner, and then as soon as the lion's out of sight, that gazelle will take off. As soon as the animal's safe from the trauma. What the zookeepers will tell you is it will go through these kind of trembling motions. If it doesn't, it's dead, because that trembling is how it releases that anesthetized hyper-alert state.
That cortisol.
It's like what?
Like cortisol. It's a cortisol.
Adrenaline
release.
Adrenaline release. And it also, it's like releasing Novocaine. It's, you know, your body puts itself into a natural Novocaine. And it's like letting that go so you can start to feel alive again, which is what will happen. And the book by Paul Levine is called Waking the Tiger. It's a very nice, simple book also, which will teach people the trembling technique. Those two techniques, they're cheap. You can do a lot of it on your own. And you'll find that they're remarkably effective at releasing old traumas. And each one you let go of, you feel more alive, more free, and lighter. And the muscles can let go. So a very, very nice thing, you know, step one, being authentic with your feelings, feel them, share them with those that you have personal relationships with, and then let go of them. That'll make you feel more alive again. A big, big step towards feeling happy when you're not bearing your feelings.
Now, you spoke about freedom technique, this freedom release technique. How permanent is that release? Is that temporary for a short term, or would it be more of a long-term release when you're working with this technique?
The emotional freedom technique is long-term for whatever is being released. Once those feelings that have been buried are let go, they're let go. They may continue to bubble up in layers for a while. Now, if you keep doing the same thing that got you traumatized at the beginning, well, you're going to be creating new feelings related to that. So it's not preventive for the future, but it releases it. I mean, when that feeling is released, it's let go and it's gone.
Quite amazing, isn't it, that something that simple?
It's miraculous.
I
and
love
free.
And free. I love you have titles in your book that move all the way through your book. So if you don't mind, I'm going to be reading different titles that came up. One was To Find Yourself, Think for Yourself. And who said that? Socrates. And then another one that I really liked was, I've found that most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be.
Honest Abe. Yep.
Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln. So we are speaking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, Carol Peterson, pharmacist, and we're speaking about his book, Three Steps to Happiness, Healing Through Joy. And we will be right back because I want to continue this conversation.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Alone, if you feel like a room without a room,
We are speaking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. We're speaking about his book, Three Steps to Happiness, Healing Through Joy. This book has a money-back guarantee, Dr. Teitelbaum.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go to Amazon. It's only available as an e-book, and it's like $10. If you follow the directions of the book, I didn't say read it, but if you follow the directions of the book, I guarantee you you'll be happy. Or I'll give you my back.
Or you'll give you money back. Okay. Dr. Teitelbaum, what's the next step?
Well, the next step is to take control by making life a no-fault process. As long as you're feeling that other people are to blame and you can't be happy until they do something, we talked about earlier, you know, your happiness is dependent on them. But once you follow these six things, no blame, no fault, no guilt, no judgment, no comparisons, and no expectations. Because we live in a society where it's funny, you know, if something happens, it's not how do we fix it, it's whose fault is it.
Oh, yes,
what's the news? You know, a plane disappears. It's not how do we find it, it's like whose fault is it? You know, they can go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. You said gently and kindly. It's just nuts, you know. And the same thing, you know, the legal system, not how do we fix the problem, whose fault is it? Guilt, you know, God bless. You know, I grew up with, as a expert on handling guilt the old-fashioned way. So, and judgment, the same thing. You know, it's funny. You'll find that when you stop judging people, and you're not doing this to be a nice person. You're doing it because at the end of the day, all we really are seeing most of the time is ourself. And when somebody is pointing a finger and saying, that SOB, blah, 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 there's an old Chinese expression. You know, when you're pointing one finger at the other person, if you take a look, you're pointing three fingers back at yourself. And that's why when somebody's ranting on you, if you just can remember that all they're doing is talking about the parts of themselves that they're not aware of and projecting it out. So if you can hear it as if they're saying, and here's what I think about myself, but I don't really know it, and then listen to what they're saying that way, it's so much more entertaining. And the same thing, when you're judging other people, really, it's your own self-judgment being projected outward almost always. Now, you may say, I don't like the color purple. That's one thing, that this is a preference. But if you're saying, I hate purple, well, there's something about purple that's who you are, you know. You know, if you say, I hate greedy people, well, then you're probably greedy. You know, it's that old pointing finger thing. So if you can let go of the judgment, this funny thing happens. Because if you stop judging other people, you'll realize all you're doing is judging yourself. And when you stop judging other people, this amazing thing happens. You stop judging yourself. And it's like, what just happened? That's, you know, I feel a whole lot lighter. It's all really self-judgment. That's all that it is. Everything you're pushing out on other people is just really a projection of your own stuff. Comparisons, expectations, let go of all that. It's really not needed. There's no two things that are enough alike that I would bother comparing them. Each thing is its own thing. When I get into comparisons, I just get into trouble. And the same with expectations. You know, stop having expectations on others and you'll never be disappointed. And stop having expectations on yourself. You'll feel happier.
Well, then,
a friend of mine,
go on, Carol.
Oh, a friend of mine who's a yoga teacher was complaining about something about seeing her spouse, and I said, lower your expectations. You're just making yourself miserable. And she says, I have a right to my expectations.
Yeah, you're right. And your spouse has the right to tell you to kiss off of your expectations, too. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there she is, stuck with her expectations.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you.
And that's making her unhappy.
Yeah, making her unhappy. If she could, here's a trick to do. If you have, and you know, sometimes you're going to have spouses and relationships where you look at them and you go, you know, that's really annoying. And, they just drive you crazy. So I'm going to teach you this trick for how to get what you want out of the relationships. whether it's a child or a parent or a lover or a boyfriend or girlfriend or even a business relationship, try this trick. Give it 6 weeks. Find one thing about that person that you can think about that you enjoy. Like maybe they tell a good joke, or maybe they smell good, or maybe, you know, just find something, anything about them that they enjoy, writing several things. And for 6 weeks, choose to ignore all those things you don't like about them that tick you off. And it's okay first to tell them how you feel and then move into the process and just ignore all that other stuff and only choose to pay attention to those things that feel good. After 6 things, one of two things will happen. Either you're going to find the parts of them that come out in the relationship with you are those things that feel good, and they save that other annoying stuff for other people, or they will leave. One of those things. And either way, you're going to be ahead of the game.
So you're focusing on the good in the other.
You're focusing on what you feel.
Or what you can appreciate in the other.
Or what makes you feel good.
About the other. And
as you may think about the other in terms of, oh, I think that he's a good, charitable human being, when what you're feeling is he's a self-righteous pain in the ass, and I wish he was dead, make me feel so bad about myself. So you think, you know, you focus on things that feel good about the other people, period.
And the result is? Explain this a little bit better to me. What?
The result is that's what's going to show up in the relationship, are those things you're paying attention to.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Fair. Maybe we all challenge each other to do this.
Yeah.
In a relationship that might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear back from the audience.
See what happens. And, you know, either you might have this charming flower that will follow you with, or you may lose 250 pounds of ugly fat when they leave.
Well, you know, so many of us are so afraid to fail or to make mistakes, or we really feel that some of our errors are really focusing in on us as deficits. And you have another one of the titles, If You Shut Your Door to All Errors, Truth Will Be Shut Out. So you incorporate and encompass these failures or these struggles to create a stronger person.
If you have no expectations, you're not going to have any failures. Now, if you don't have expectations, it doesn't mean they're not going to achieve. You'll achieve more, probably, but you'll do it more happily.
Now, then maybe...
In terms of mistakes, that's how we learn.
Now,
and you can't get it wrong, because if you simply learn from that and go, oh, okay, next time I'll do it differently, then it wasn't a mistake. It was a growth experience.
Can you help me understand the word expectations? Because let's say I want to write a book. Is that an expectation? Am I creating something? Now, it's a very stressful event. It takes all my energy, all my focus, all my learning. Now,
I've written about 10. I'm working on another. So let me give you a way to look at it.
Okay.
If you're looking at, I've got to write this book. I've got to. I'm on the deadline. I have to get it done. I expect I'm going to write this book. I need to. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One, it doesn't happen any quicker. And two, it's not going to come out to be a better book, and it's going to be a lot less fun. Now, take the same event of you're writing a book, and you get to write this book, and you're looking forward to it, because when it's fun, you do it. And when it doesn't feel good, you realize you can sit there and chew on the pen, on the pencil, nothing's going to happen. But when the time comes time that it's ready, it will be coming through. That information will flow. That's the difference between getting to write the book and having the expectation that you have to write the book. The getting to write the book makes for this fun, exciting process and a really good book.
So accomplishment.
Makes for a pain in the arse.
So an accomplishment can be fun and exciting, whereas an expectation shifts it?
as it makes it work in pain. It doesn't make it happen anymore, likely, more effectively, if it makes it a pain.
Well, you start writing the book with an expectation that it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be more difficult.
Well, that's a bad belief that you're talking about at that point, as opposed to an expectation on yourself. But that's another way to let go of it. If you have the expectation that it can be a certain way, let go of that expectation and simply experience it for what it is. And if it doesn't feel good to do and it's really annoying and it feels bad to let go, let it go.
Now, you talk about a chicken, an egg, and birthing, and breaking through, literally breaking through this shell to be able to survive. But the process of breaking through the shell allows you to survive. Can you explain that to us? Pardon?
There's certain traumas you go through in your life that are needed for growth and development. And if you look at a chicken, you know, you have the chick, and it's, you know, pecking its way out of the shell. And it's this big trauma. It's this big change. It's this whole thing. And it's pecking its way out. And if you say, oh, poor chick, and you start to break the shell and let it out, you're going to have one dead chick. Yeah. The getting the adrenaline and the effort and all the work of breaking out of that shell is part of what gets the adrenaline moving and gets the life force flowing, and it's part of the birthing. It's part of what's needed. And so there are things in life that we go through that are hard, that are incredibly difficult sometimes. And you may find that it still feels good to do them. It feels better to do them than not. Like when I did my medical internship and residency, and what an annoying 3 years of my life. And it felt better to do it than not to do it. And I'm really glad I did it, annoying as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Your taxes, you know, if you get enough magic season, doing your taxes is annoying. It doesn't feel good. But it feels better to do them than not to do them. Yeah. So, which leads us into, like, part three, step three of being happy. Which is basically, it's how you set your GPS. You know, if you get your car working really well and the whole thing, and you want to go to Florida and you set it for Wisconsin, you know, set the GPS, that doesn't work very well. You know, but you say, but I want to go to Florida and keep plugging in an address in Wisconsin, I wonder what the car is doing. We keep saying that we want to have a life we love, and then we keep putting our attention on things we hate. And that's where the car goes. You know, life kind of brings you what you put your attention on. And it's difficult sometimes. I mean, I get into my rants about the government, and I love it. I love a good self-righteous sometimes. But then I remind myself, but, you know, on the other hand, at the end of the day, that's not going to change what's going on. Changing what I put my attention on is going to create what I want in my life. So step three to being happy is to choose to keep your attention on what feels good. Now, people say, but that's not real, but, you know, there's, you know, look at the news. There's all this stuff going on in the world. I say, look out the window. That's more real. And it's as if there's 1,000 channels. You know, it's funny. You'll have 1,000 channels on the cable. And there's some people who will ignore the channels they love and keep watching the channel they hate and ranting about it. They're saying, somebody should tear down the towers, and they form committees to tear down that TV tower, and they, you know, and I say, just change the channel. But that channel is there! It's like, so, change the channel. You don't like it, watch something else. You know? And that's the same how it is in life. There's all these things that are reality. But, you know, a lot of it, we have a choice of what we want to pay attention to in that massive smorgasbord menu of what we call reality. And some people may choose to pay attention to war and focus on that. And again, there's warriors. There's people who want a warrior experience in life, and that's, you know, on both sides. And they get their opportunity, but I don't want that. I would rather pay attention to something else. So choose. And again, looking out the window, I guarantee you, is no less real than the fantasy on TV that they call the news.
And oh, yeah.
What's on the news network is real. Well, you know, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. You know, if you believe that, and if you're wondering, if you think it truly is real, just take any politically charged news event and watch the 3 or 5 main networks, news networks, and you'll think that you're watching 5 different events on 5 different planets. So at least 4 of them are wrong. And I'll give you a secret, a hint. All 5 of them are, what's the medical word? Oh, FOS. Yeah, I mean, it's all nonsense. It's meant to entertain you and to get your attention so that you keep watching so they can sell advertising. And it's also meant by the people who own the networks to get across a certain political perspective they have.
No.
So it's kind of like when I'm drunk in a bar, I can sit there and rant about my beliefs, and maybe a couple people will hear me. But if you own the network, you can be like a drunk in the bar, and millions of people will hear you.
24/7.
24/7.
Now, I would like to ask about a little bit about, we've got about 5 minutes. I'd like to ask a little bit about the physiology of joy.
Well, the physiology of joy is that you're going to basically relax. Your cortisol levels will come down. A lot of the adrenal problems that we see come from adrenal exhaustion with elevated cortisol and norepinephrine that are chronically high. They get exhausted, and then they go low. Your body always being on high alert goes into what's called the catabolic state, which is where it's tearing you down to get resources to handle an emergency, where joy is an anabolic state. It's relaxing. It's more efficient. It allows the body to rebuild and heal things. And that put resources in reserve, as opposed to drawing them out of your organs and your muscles and your reserves to try to stay alive in the moment. This is what it perceives during stress, is what it has to do. So it's part of what contributes to the healing process. Let your blood pressure go down, let your blood sugar go down without dropping it too low. It keeps it at a nice stable level, and leaves a smile on your face, which is, I think, increases the wrinkle risk. So to the physiology. Corinne, let me make a note just on a societal level, too, because we've talked about an individual level of focusing on what feels good. But a big part of what I studied over the last 45 years or more, in college I did it, 2 semesters on it, was looking at the effect of the acceleration of the rate of change. And what happens when change speeds up? And 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we thought things were accelerating remarkably. And compared to now, that was like slow motion. Things are changing so quickly now that the time from conceiving something to it actually happening is getting shorter and shorter. So where 100 years ago, if we talked about cell phones and being able to access all the information in all the world just about in a little box in your hand, and talk to anybody and see them from anywhere in the world, people say, yeah, you're totally whack out of your mind. And now we have cell phones. Most everybody's got them. But we ain't seen nothing yet. I think change will continue to accelerate. And we have the choice of picking the direction we want that change to go. One of the things that our foundation has, we have actually a contest, a video contest going on now, and also a picture contest and 2 other ones, where if you go to the website, let me call it, because you figure that's what Heaven on Earth is going to be like. So we call the website heaven-now.org. And we're inviting people to submit videos.
That's wonderful.
2 to 5 minute videos. There's $6,000 in prizes of what the most amazingly awesome future or reality is that you can picture. So just picture, you know, this, you know, snapshot of what would make you as happy as you could be that you'd like the future to bring you. And I think that's part of how we start our GPS. And we're going to, I think, what I see coming in the future, I used to be more pessimistic about the future, but as I see the change occurring, I got really optimistic. I think we've got really good things ahead of us.
That's beautiful. And you're sharing it with others and with us. on how to get that attitude in that relationship. And when we do have that joyous relationship, what happens? More gets accomplished. We live life much in a much fuller and level. We share more. We accomplish more. And
our bodies are healthier.
Our bodies are healthier. You have a quote in your book that I knew from before, and it's from Abraham. And Abraham is an entity which is channeled, which is a whole other story. Abraham said, "You never get it done, and you never get it wrong." Now that takes
a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah, it takes some pressure off us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No hurries, no worries. I mean, life is really good if you actually get down to it and if you look at it, and it's really possible. So, you know, I invite go onto Amazon if you have a Kindle reader, download the 3 Steps to Happiness book, and
healing through joy.
It's a really good thing, and you'll find as a side effect, you will actually find that many of your illnesses either get better or you won't care about them. And I invite you to come to the website, heaven-now.org, and take a look. You'll find that there's also some cutting-edge ideas there. I think the future has some really, really cool stuff coming.
Dr. Teitelbaum, it's always a joy trying to keep up with you. And we look forward to it. On a regular basis. That's why we keep on checking in.
Well, let me mention one other quick thing for folks.
Yes.
For listeners, if you know somebody, a family member who has Alzheimer's or early Alzheimer's or any form of dementia, actually, we have a new study that we're going to be enrolling people for soon, in the next couple of weeks. And the treatments are done by phone and the evaluation, where we're going to be doing a treatment approach that we call the MIND protocol, metabolism, infections, nutrition, and drugs, getting people off of unnecessary medications. And I suspect that what we're going to find in the study is that people's cognitive function will improve dramatically, and in some cases, that the dementia may even go away when you treat these underlying areas. So for those of you that are interested or have a family member who would be interested, let me give you a phone number to call for information. 410-573-5389. So for information on being in a study on effective treatment for Alzheimer's and dementia, 410-573-5389. Okay, good stuff happening.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Carol. Always a
thank
pleasure.
You.
Oh, Dr. Teitelbaum, I want to ask you one more thing. Your website. Where people can sign up for your newsletter.
www.endfatigue.com.
Could
you? And like Nancy, D like David, and the word fatigue, FATIGUE.com. That's where we have our supplement shop. If you want things to help your adrenals, like adrenal stress end or the sleep tonight. And then for information on specific health topics, Vitality101 or Vitality101.com. And we have an iPhone app, Cures A to Z, so C-U-R-E-S, A-Z. It's free. About 2 million people have downloaded it. Whether anything from Alzheimer's to zoster, you look it up, and the information on what it is and how to help it get better, it's right there at your fingertips.
Thank you so much.
That in itself is astonishing.
I know.
Astonishing.
Thank you so much.
She gets credit. She came home one day and she said, "You've got to write this app." And I said, "I am swamped, honey." And she said, "Yeah, I know, but you got to write it. You got to do it now." So she was right. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for the information you share. Thanks so much for the app. And thanks so much for being you. And we
always a pleasure to be out with you.
Yes, we look forward to our next time. Carol?
Oh, thank you. We'll put some of this stuff on our blog, the phone numbers and the contacts for some of the things Dr. Teitelbaum has been sharing with us. Okay. And the blog is takechargeofhealth.blogspot.com.
Before we end, I have two pieces of exciting news. May is National Osteoporosis Month, and I'm going to be doing a lecture discussion about osteoporosis at Whole Foods Market on Tuesday, May 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Vauxhall store in New Jersey. I will be discussing osteoporosis, the unnecessary epidemic, and focusing on what you can do in your homes and in your life and lifestyles as prevention and cure. The event is free, so come join me. But if you plan to attend, please contact Christine Nicholson at Christine, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, dot Nicholson, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N, at WholeFoods.com. Send her an email and get your name on the list. I'll see you there. Join us next week while I speak with Jeffrey Smith, best-selling author of Genetic Roulette, a spokesperson on the health dangers of genetically modified organisms. While states across the U.S. are introducing GMO labeling initiatives, now more than ever, it's important that we pay attention to the issue and take action to label GMOs. The future of our food and our health depends on it. Join us next week. Thank you so much, Carol. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Concluding today, I'd like you to remember, this information is not a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share to your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can find me on Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, that's C-O-R-I-N-N-E, F-U-R-N-A-R-I, or my website, FornariHealth.com, or my office number, 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. Thank you for sharing this time with me, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.